The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
Amen, brother. Thank you for the reading of God's word. We just finished up a whole series on the core values. One was prayer. Prayer is a primary work of God's people. Another one was Holy Spirit. Stewardship. Everything we have belongs to God. God's word, obeying and following God's word, is fundamental to all your success in life. And then we also talked about taking faith-filled risks. So we finished up that series just in time for Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday. So today's Palm Sunday, triumphal entry. And it's actually recorded in all four Gospels. Sometimes things are recorded in the Synoptics, three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. But this one is particularly recorded in all four Gospels. And so just in that alone, it probably should be something we might want to pay attention to, since they would all write about it. We might want to consider it as being important. So just imagine yourself there 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, going to celebrate the Passover. There would be a huge crowd. They'd be coming from all over the place to celebrate the Passover. It'd be something like New Year's Eve in Times Square. Kind of picture something like that. Or a ticker tape parade for the championship team as they roll into town. Thousands would be flooding into the city to observe the Passover. It'd be a mass of people. They'd all be looking for lodging. They'd all be looking for food. They'd all be looking for drink. It'd be a carnival-like atmosphere. People jamming into the streets, getting ready to celebrate. And even as they prepare to observe one of the most important Jewish festivals all year long, word started to spread around that this rabbi named Jesus was going to show up. Jesus is at his height of his popularity at this moment. No one's really more famous than Jesus at that point in time. The crowds gather as Jesus rides into the city on the foal, on a donkey. They begin to wave their palm branches and throw them down, their coats, and they welcome Jesus with shouts of Hosanna and praise be to the King. And I started thinking about, wondering about all the different people in the crowd. And all the faces that Jesus is seeing and looking at and observing. What was he thinking? What were they thinking? What was he seeing? What were they seeing? So I tried to examine some of the crowd that might have been present on that particular day. And we could probably maybe somewhere along the line recognize ourselves in some point being in the crowd. First, there were the Roman soldiers that would be there. Even though they're not mentioned in the passage of Scripture for this particular passage, they would be there. Why would they be there? Crowd control. They're there to maintain order, right? They're the occupying force. They're the oppressors of all the people that are now gathering in this city to celebrate a Passover. The Roman soldiers would take an interest. They would try to keep the peace. They would make sure that no one would get unruly, no major crimes would be committed. You know, there's a lot of pickpockets and purse snatchers and, you know, child abductions going on. Why? Well, people have been people since there have been people. There's always been that. There's always been crime. There's always been evil. Do you recognize evil exists? Of course they were observing. They're watching everyone. And what would this festival of Passover mean to the Romans? Nothing. What did all the fanfare mean to those Roman soldiers? Nothing. Extra duty. Nothing is recorded too much in the scriptures, like I said, but they would keep a close watch on everything. They would be policing everyone. And it would not be uncommon for some Jewish zealot to want to start up a riot or to revolt against some of the Roman soldiers, create an uprising and a rebellion. The zealots hated the Roman occupation. It was a prime time for the zealots to do that. And of course, there's tax collectors. Those are the Jewish people that worked with the Roman government to collect taxes from the people. Of course, they're there as well. Did you know that Jesus called both as his disciples? He called the zealot and he called the tax collector. He called the one that was fighting and overzealous against the government and the one that was working with the government. He called them both to be his disciples. And just by choosing those couple guys, you know he made a lot of people mad. And you remember the phrase, right? You did not choose me, Jesus would say. I chose you. Which in itself is a whole nother sermon about how that's totally different than anything rabbinical and the rabbis did at all. I chose you. And he chose a zealot and a tax collector. The Roman soldiers would be prepared for anything, for any kind of upheaval and insurgency. Here comes the great king riding on the donkey. The Roman soldiers would have laughed and snickered about that triumphal entry, right? So here's your first one. Laughed and amused. They would be laughing and amused. Why? It was a joke. This is a joke. I'm sure the Roman soldiers who were there were all amused at this because, you know, they have seen this type of tribute before, back in Rome. Whenever a Roman general conquered a foreign territory or reigned victorious over foreign soil, the overpowering their enemy, they bring back all the trophies back into the city. And it would be like a huge ticker tape parade going on to receive that general, to receive that army, and to receive all that was being taken from foreign lands. The general would ride into the town on a gold-covered chariot with white stallion horses parading him through the town. The general would display all the trophies that he had won. The enemies that he had captured would be enslaved. They would be paraded in chains down the street in front of all the celebrating people. And the parade in Rome would end at the arena, at the Colosseum, where some of those captives would be entertainment for the crowds as they wrestled and fought wild beasts and wild animals. They've seen this kind of thing before. The Roman soldiers would have scoffed at this kind of a triumphal entry. What king rides on a dumb donkey? What powerful leader would stoop this low? They found it ridiculous. Here comes Patrick Mahomes into Kansas City. People are cheering, ticker tape parade. Oh, hey, there's Patrick on a donkey. Oh, here comes the Pope. People are cheering, ticker tape parade everywhere. Vatican is full. Rome is occupied. All kinds of people. And here comes the Pope on a donkey. Ridiculous. Would you have found it foolish? Amusing? Would you have scoffed at something like that? Compared to a Roman triumph? compared to a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Here comes Jesus. It was pitiful, pathetic, disgraceful, sad, and lame. Jesus came into Jerusalem, not on a war horse, not on a golden chariot with white stallions, no weapons drawn, no sword in his hand. And he gets his way into the city gates. Does he go to the military headquarters? No. Does he go to the religious leaders to vow that he's there? No. Does he seek counsel with it? No. He goes to the temple and essentially teaches. He does nothing. Romans would have laughed. They did not understand that Jesus would have been fulfilling a prophecy of the Messiah. Maybe the Jews did. Maybe the learner did. Maybe they understood. They had no understanding as Roman soldiers. They would have been amused by the stories about him. They would have laughed at him. How could sophisticated people believe such ignorance? Anyway, make the blind to see, lame to walk, the deaf to hear. He walks on waters, calm, storm with oar, feeds 5,000 people with a few fish. Who in their right mind even believes such things? They would have just laughed. They would have laughed at him, and they would have laughed at all the followers that were gathering in that town. Loser, going to church. Laugh at you because you have faith in him. That donkey riding rabbi. They would laugh at you for praying. Only losers need God as a crutch. Losers giving to charity and churches and trying to do gooder. Loser. Roman leaders would not have thought too highly about the king or his followers. There was probably another group there too. We'd be familiar with them. To catch a glimpse of the legend. Huh? Yeah, there'd be people gathered there to catch a glimpse of the celebrity. Mystical man, Lazarus. Lazarus is still walking around. He's walking with Jesus. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of Jesus, but to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Your verse 17 read, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word about what Jesus had done. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to see him. So here's your next one. There'd be this spectacle, this show. They wanted to come see the show, baby. Something's going on. Jesus did some great performances. Jesus did some great things. People wanted to check it out. Before Jesus had come to Jerusalem, he spent a lot of time with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Bethany. And we see another large crowd gather there. But John says they were there not to see Jesus, but to see Lazarus. This crowd wanted to see what was going on. They wanted to see they were seeking the show, not the master, right? They got about curious about things. I want to go see this guy. What's everybody talking about? We got to go check it out. And these are kind of people that are kind of like half-hearted seekers, you know. The crowd gathering at dinner with Jesus would be attending. They'd try to gather around, catch a glimpse of Lazarus, maybe catch a little bit of Jesus, and maybe be around where the party was. Because you never know. I mean, he might turn some water back into wine. I want to be there for that. So they're kind of checking it out. The crowd came to see the spectacle, to see Lazarus. He must have been a sight to behold. This resuscitated man, phenomenon. Did he walk around like a zombie? Did he blink? you speak? What was this Lazarus like? We wanted to know. We got to go check it out. Did he still have hair? The crowd came as it was a social occasion. It was a festival-like atmosphere. Wherever Jesus was, there was action and things were happening. And they wanted to be part of the happening scene, right? How many people church hop to the latest happening scene? The latest thing's happening over at the other church. Let's go over there. They hop and they church hop and they just go from here to there, right? Chasing, ready? Chasing the signs. Chasing the wonders. Chasing the miracle. Are signs and wonders, we talk about this in Sunday school, are signs and wonders following after people, or are people following after signs and wonders? Do you get the difference? And isn't that why some people go to church today, to see the show, watch the spectacle, join the party, catch the latest Christian celebrity? You know, it's a sincere problem in the church today. Half-hearted, insincere seekers. Unless the church is entertaining, you don't go there. Celebrity pastors need to market books so that they can draw a crowd. They don't come to worship the King and honor Christ. They come to see who's singing. And wow, if there's a potluck, forget about it. You might lose a limb on the way to the wings. Crowds are gathering. You feed them, they will come. Some will come to get what they can. Some will come to see who they can. Not to encounter the Lord of hosts. They came to the miracles, the spectacle, the show, not to meet the King. Many people, because they had heard what he had given, these miraculous signs, went out to meet him. Sadly, many churches are full of the spectacular. It draws a crowd. You know, they come for the croc star. You know what the croc star is, right? It's the Christian rock star. That's the croc star. They come because of the spectacle, the exciting atmosphere. Listen, I like an event at church. This is an event. Every Sunday is an event at church. I like a production. I like big sound. I like a crowd. But why are you here? Why were they there? And what does Jesus see when he rides in on his donkey and he looks at the crowd? What does he see when he looks at you? I can remember doing a little tour with a Christian rock band. We'd fill an auditorium, you know, hundreds of people, and we'd jam out. You know, it was rock, Christian rock music way before Christian rock was even popular, right? So they would jam, and then they'd have an intermission, and they'd say, okay, we'll give 10 minutes to the preacher man, come on. Guess what everybody did? Got up and walked out. I hadn't said a word yet. They were there for the music, not for the message. I never really thought of myself as very, you know, so highly that people should even care what I had to say. But I never really thought of myself so lowly that I could empty out an auditorium. The reality is, it's not about me. Have you ever asked yourself the question of someone who was at church today? It's like, did you go to church today? Yeah. How was it? And they tell you about the croc star. Did you go to church today? Yeah, how was church today? Oh, man, they had a light show and the fog machine that they had, and they had crumbling walls, and it was awesome, man. Okay. Rarely do they say the Holy Spirit was moving in that place. How was church today? Transformed me. I learned a lot about forgiveness. How was church today? I learned a lot about reconciliation and the love that God has for me. See, I get it. I want church to be fun too. But that's it. We had fun at church today, but I never encountered Christ. We had fun at church today, but we never learned anything about Jesus. The music was awesome, but I never worshiped God. The church missed the entire point of being a church. When I was a child, I thought like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Here's your next slide. So is your faith childish or childlike? It took me a while to grow out of that. And so the leaders and the Pharisees, they would ask him, "Hey, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Let me introduce you to Lazarus. Jesus can raise people from the dead and they will not follow him." That's the attitude of some in the crowd. "What will you do for me, Jesus? What will you give me? You got to prove yourself to me. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" Matthew would write in the same way, "On the outside you appear as people righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." How many want the miracles and they miss the master? They desire a king that would rule, but they want to make the rules. They're probably some of the people in that crowd today. Some of those people that Jesus would have saw. But I'm really grateful we don't treat people like that anymore. We certainly don't treat Jesus like a genie in a bottle, right? Getting wishes of wealth and romance and healing. There was this other group of people there also that day. They're not the Roman soldiers, not the insincere spectators, the Pharisees. See? Their whole world is going after him. The whole world is going after him. They were losing their prestige and their power. There's your next one, prestige and power. Wherever the power was to be displayed, wherever there'd be a crowd that would gather around, that's where you'd find the Pharisees. They wanted to be there. They wanted to be praised. They wanted the glory. They wanted the fame. They wanted the recognition. They wanted to sign the autographs. They wanted the stature. They wanted to be seen. They wanted to be looked up to. They wanted to be the ones who had all the influence. They were fine as long as they were the center of attention, the center of authority. They were fine as long as they were the ones being admired. And people were beginning to follow Jesus and follow him. And to the Pharisees, that meant that their powerful political positions were in jeopardy. How tragic it is that religious positions sometimes become political platforms. How tragic is it that greed can run a nonprofit organization? How tragic that men reject Christ for the things of this world. That men swap eternity for social status and fame. That people trade integrity for a few hundred bucks. These preachers, these teachers, these synagogue leaders, they were only interested in themselves. They were only interested in the prestige of their own position. They were going to oppose anyone and anything that threatened their power and their social status. God is not pleased with that type of leadership. This is what he told Ezekiel. "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not care for the flock.' There are many in church today who want the visible positions. They want the power. They want the influence. They want to be the movers and the shakers. They want to be a part of what's happening in the latest scene to gain a following. Hey, I got the most tweets. I got 5,000 Facebook friends. Really? They will say anything that is popular, that makes them popular, and before long it becomes politics in the pulpit. They preach the prosperity gospel. Come to Jesus and all your cares and your troubles will be over. Come to Jesus and he'll give you everything that you want. They'll preach what the crowd wants to hear, not what the Bible says. Rather than pointing men and women to Jesus, they point people to themselves. Rather than pointing men and women to Jesus, they point them to money. Rather than pointing them to Jesus, they point them to the injustices in the world. Rather than pointing them to Christ, they point them to the inequalities in the world. Rather than pointing them to Jesus, they start pointing to the discrimination in the world, to the prejudices in the world. They point them to the world and not the cross. Isaiah says, they are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way, and each seeks his own gain. There were some of those bad shepherds in that crowd that day. We would say, Pharisees, look at them. Sadducees, look at them. They were so bad that they even went on to plot Jesus' death and a plot to kill Lazarus. People in the crowd that day, they were amused, especially the Romans. They would have laughed at this. This is silly. There would have been those that came to see the spectacle, catch the show. What is Lazarus walking around? What does he look like? Some were very afraid of losing their power and their prestige, and they wanted to hold on to it and keep it. They needed to know what was going on. That's who Jesus saw in the crowd. That's who's there. Yeah. There's one other small group that's there. Just a little bit further in our reading, actually the next couple verses, reads it this way. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. We would like to meet Jesus. There's your last one, Jesus. Jesus. We would like to see Jesus. Oh, that we would come to a place in our own lives, we would say, I would like to meet Jesus. I would like to see Jesus. That our hearts would burn. That's what we desire more than anything. We are here to encounter Jesus Christ. We want to meet Jesus. Oh, that we would want to come into his presence to glorify him and honor him and praise him. Oh, what a difference that would make in our own lives. If we would just say, I need Jesus. I want to meet Jesus. I don't need a spectacle. I need Jesus. I don't need a show and entertainment. I need Jesus. I don't need power and prestige. I need Jesus. I don't need lights, cameras, and guitars. I need Jesus. I don't need fame and fortune and accolades. I need Jesus. Why are you here today? Because I need Jesus. I came to see Jesus. I came to meet Jesus. I came to encounter the living Christ. To worship the Lord for who he is, not for what he can give me. To honor him for the life that he's already granted unto me. To honor him for the salvation of your very soul. For when we see Jesus in this way, we begin to worship his holy name, and God gets glorified. When we recognize that Jesus represents the love that God has for us, why would you go anywhere else? When we come to the realization that God gave his only son to die for you, that you might not perish but have everlasting life, it will change why you gather. It will change who and what you seek. It changes everything. When we see and believe this glorious truth of Jesus, when we really begin to worship Jesus, we begin to surrender our whole beings to God. We begin to follow and obey his will and for all that he has done and all that he is doing. When we begin to seek Jesus in spirit and in truth, the name of God is glorified. That's when real worship occurs. And come for guitars I didn't come for the sound. I didn't come for the light show. I didn't come to see who I can see and who I might be seen by. I came because I can encounter Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God will transform your life. It's not about politics. It's about Jesus. It's not about the crowd that's gathering. It's about Jesus. It's not why someone else is here today. It's about Jesus. It's not about why someone else is not here today. It's about Jesus. You and Jesus. Come and see. Come and meet this Jesus. Here and now, the Holy Spirit floods this place. Few short days, that crowd that gathered would quickly turn. They would not be gathering again to honor him. They'd be gathering to say, crucify him. He's not what I want in my God. And if you wanted to honor Jesus, anybody in here want to honor Jesus? Anybody in here want to honor Jesus? See, now, if you wanted to honor Jesus, you were in the minority. And if you wanted to love Jesus and speak his name, you were in the minority. And if you wanted to follow him, your own life would be on the line. And if you wanted to follow after him, you'd have to go against the crowd. Crowds turn quickly. Being Christ-like, you will be about as welcome in this world as Jesus was. You sure? You want to be a disciple? Are you sure you want to follow after Christ? I would say this to you. Should you choose to follow Christ and honor him, get on your donkey and ride. Claim the victory that is yours. Get on your donkey and ride. Claim salvation. Claim your reward. Jesus is with you. It's a glorious day in the house of the Lord today. God is accomplishing his tasks. With all joyfulness, Jesus heard the crowd. With all joyfulness, Jesus faced the cross. Father, in this place, this day, we celebrate who you are. I would pray that you would work in our hearts and in our minds, that we would be transformed. Father, I would even go so far as to say, take us out of the crowd. We would be part of that small group that says, I want to see Jesus. I want to meet Jesus. I don't want to run with the crowd. I don't need the power and the prestige. I'm not finding this amusing. I want to encounter with God, an encounter that transforms me, changes me, challenges me. And so, Father, with open hearts and open minds, do your work among us in this place. We will celebrate you, who you are. In the name of your Son, I would pray. Amen. And God bless you.